It's a blessing to be here today with you. We always enjoy coming to visit you here at Faith Community Chapel. We feel at home here, and we sense the Spirit of God here. We sense your love for God and His Word. That's a blessing. The devotional this morning touched me, and my mind was drawn. This is not what I want to speak on, but my mind was drawn to Luke 7. If you would, just turn to Luke 7 with me for just a thought or two. And my mind, I have to admit, my notes are organized this morning, but my mind is not. My mind is really going, and in part from what was shared this morning earlier on, and I thought of Luke 7. And, you know, Christ sometimes fails our expectations. He doesn't come through in ways we think he ought to come through. John the Baptist was a man. Imagine a man who gave his entire life to the ministry of Christ. And I'm not sure what he expected Christ to be like, but Christ was not what he thought he was going to be. Christ came through in a way that John the Baptist was not expecting him to come through. And he had questions about this Messiah. He ended up in prison, John did. And in prison he listened to the rumors coming through. When was this man going to overthrow the Romans? After all, that's what he was supposed to do. When was he going to give the Jews their freedom? After all, that's what he was supposed to do. But instead, he heard the rumors came back about a humble man who went around, not in a chariot, but just on foot, went around and he taught. Rumors came in about the miracles he did. There was no stories of conquest. In fact, he seemed more intent on, how could you say, irritating the religious people than the Romans. Where was this Christ? In Luke 7, verse 19, and John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And so these men came and asked Christ this. You would think the least that Christ could do is to just tell John, I'm the one. But instead, verse 21, this is almost as if Christ said, just sit down a while and watch what happens here, okay? He said, in the same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And to many of them that were blind, he gave sight. And then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, tell John what you heard and saw. Okay. That's all the answer he gave. And I love verse 23. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And Christ has not come through as we think he ought to come through. Blessed are those who aren't offended, but still find the faith to go on. The Lord has given us four beautiful children. The one that we thought should be number eight, a week and a half ago we found out, it's not going to be. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Trust and obey. Brother Jim, will you come forward, please? Say a word of prayer. I have to admit my mind is mixed up this morning. Just say a prayer, if you would.
Dear God in heaven, thank you. God, I pray that we would hear you. When men don't know what to say, that we would hear you. And God, I pray this morning that you would anoint men's lips again. I pray that, God, that you would convince us that your arm is not short. You're the only one that convinces or convicts. God in heaven, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict this morning. It is claimed by you to be your work to convict. God, convince us that your arm is not short, and that you still comfort, and that you have a word for us this morning, and that by divine providence, I pray, God, in heaven, that you would anoint the Spirit of Michael, that his Spirit would hear deep, calling to deep, God, that he would hear you speaking to him, and that it would only be your word flowing through him to us. And I pray, God, that you would hear our prayers to hear your voice and hear our prayers for Michael, the prayers of the people sitting this morning. I thank you, God, that you're saying to us, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I pray that you would, that your kingdom would move forward, and that our only prayer would be our Father in heaven. May your name be hallowed, and may your kingdom come at our expense, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
John 11. Turn to John 11, please. The notes, so we'll wait for some other day. John chapter 11. When Christ fails our expectations. What do we do? Verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha, and her sister, and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Time was getting on, but he just didn't move. His friend was dying. He didn't move. Verse 17. Then when Jesus finally came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily, went out, followed her, saying, She goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him! And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. We have been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews came to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, believed on him. Stop with that. When Jesus fails to meet our expectations, you have a man here, dying, got sick, and sicker. Sisters, they knew where to go. They knew where their life lay. They knew where their hope lay. In Jesus. And so they sent for him. And there they are to the bedside. Lazarus is going to be okay. The Master's coming soon. It'll be okay. The day goes by, and Christ does not show up. It'll be okay. He's coming soon. They go out the next day. Look down the road. He's got to come soon. Surely, we sent for him. Surely he'll come soon. And he didn't come. And Lazarus continues to get worse. The fever gets worse. Christ had better show up soon or it's too late. We can't wait forever. We've got to have help now. But it doesn't come. It has come. Lazarus died. He died because Christ did not care enough to be on time. In their mind, He had stayed at their house. He was their friend. They had served him meals. When it came down to it, he wasn't there for them, though they had been there for him. Lazarus died. And dead people stay dead. He died. The funeral was held. Grave was closed. Chapter on life was closed. Where was Christ? We don't know. But he wasn't there when we needed him. That's for sure. Finally, the dust comes. They see the dust on the trail. Christ is coming. Finally. Martha came, went out to meet him. And she didn't even, she had no expressions of faith left. She just said, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But obviously, what, you weren't here, he died. But you know what? Look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And it happened then as happens now. The greatest revelation of who Christ is often comes after a period of seeming silence. After the valley is when we see the light. After the valley is when we see who God is. If Lazarus had not died, Martha would not have received that knowledge of who Christ was. It took the darkness to bring the light. It took the silence to bring the answer. But she still wasn't real sure of how it was all going to come out. Mary went out. She just had the same thought. She fell at Christ's feet. Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And I'm not sure, verse 35, not sure why Jesus wept. He wept. We know those around him took it as tears of love. And yes, there was love there. Maybe he wept because of the lack of the lack of knowledge in those he loved. Maybe he wept because he loved Lazarus and he hated to bring him back. That could be too. But he wept. He wept. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. Without the silence, without the pain, without the darkness, they wouldn't have received this revelation of who Christ was. And that's how it is. That's how it was with John the Baptist. Because it wasn't quite the same with him. John the Baptist sent a note, as I mentioned earlier on. Are you the one? Are you the one? Christ never answered him. The day came. And John kept hearing those stories about this man, this teacher. And after all, he didn't prepare the way for a teacher. He prepared the way for a Messiah, a deliverer. But the Jews were still groaning under the Romans. John was still in prison. Had no hope of getting out of prison. The day came when Herod had his soldiers lead John, from the prison out to the courtyard. John, today you're going to die. Today you're going to die. I don't know what John thought as he looked up at the sky one last time and nailed at the chopping block. The sword was raised. I don't know what he thought, but John died. As far as we know, he never knew. He never knew. As far as we know. But Christ knew. And that was enough. Christ knew, and that was enough. We think of Job. We think of Job and how he went through his pain, trials. And you would think, after the pain, after everything he went through, and God finally opened up and talked to Job again, you would think the least he could do is explain why. That's the least he could do. Job, here's why. Satan and I had a contest going on. You're the battlefield. Here's why, Job. It's okay. He never, as far as we know, he never told Job why. We never read that Job ever learned why. What did God tell Job? He said, Job, were you there when I created the world? Job, can you do this? Can you do this? All he did, he said, Job, look at me. I'm God. Look at me. That's all you got to know, God. It's me. You don't have to know the wise. Know me. Because, you see, our hard times in life, when we struggle in life, knowing why would not be the answer. These are not head questions. These are heart questions. And Christ didn't come to give us head knowledge. He came to meet our heart's need. And that is bound up in a person, the person of Christ and of God. Knowing the answers would not satisfy our heart's cry. And so God meets us where we need help in our hearts. He said, Job, learn to know me. Learn to know me. I'm almighty. Rest in that. And somehow I believe that Job learned to rest in that. I know a missionary, pastor in a church here in the States, gave a number of years of his life on the mission field, came home, and he learned that his daughter had been violated in the worst sort of way. And she went through severe struggles. His home was shattered. His home was shattered. Ministry in the church laid down. I don't know, but I can imagine him sitting on the rocking chair at night, looking into the dark sky and saying, God, why? I trusted you with my family. Why, God? I don't know. No, we have the answer to those things. But we have God. But we have God. School teacher I know. I teach school. I know another teacher. Taught for years. Numbers of years. Through some events that I won't even bother trying to understand. His name was slandered, drugged through the dirt. He was forced to quit teaching. I don't know. I wonder if he didn't also sit there at night and wonder why. God, why? 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 I don't know if he ever had an answer for that. But he had God, and that was enough. I think of a pastor. Pastored for years. Used mightily of God. His family, almost all of them, left the Lord. Went out into gross debauchery. He thought he gave the best of his, he thought he gave the best of his time to God. I think he meant to do well. Probably ignored his family too much. Be that as it may. I've heard him say, when out at night, face to the ground, say, God, why? Why? We don't always know those answers. But we know God. We know God. Maybe, we would be like Martha and Mary at the end of the valley, experience revelation of God. Maybe. Maybe we'll be like John the Baptist. Go to the grave, not knowing why. Are we content to follow Christ without knowing why? But just content with knowing Christ. Matthew, I'm not sure the exact reference. But after Christ had fed the multitude, and later on said some things that people didn't like, and the disciples, it says after that point, and Christ said, I am the bread of life. It said many of the people left him and didn't follow him anymore. They didn't get what they expected from Christ. Then Christ said, he turned his disciple and said, will you go away also? I think of that sometimes. When life is not what we expect, Christ is saying, will you go away also? Or will you follow me? Is God who he says he is only when we understand it? Or is God who he says he is because he's God? See, God is an entity of his own. His being, his truth is not dependent upon our understanding. He is. He is. And upon that we rest. Turn to Psalm 18. I'm going to read the beginning of that psalm. This is written by David. I'm reading the heading in my Bible before the verses actually begin. A psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, from the hand of Saul. David. Anointed by God, but yet under the rule of another man, anointed by God, Saul, but an anointed man gone mad. David's out there, how would it be to know you're the next king, you're anointed, and you're still dodging spears from the last man who was anointed. Chased out of the palace, chased to the wilderness, at night, you're wandering around, dwelling in caves. You think you're safe, but here comes Saul again. You don't understand this. Lord, where are you? Where are you? Goes to Achish, the Philistine. And there, put in prison. And there, he's forced to act like a madman to get out. Here he is, the future king of Israel. He knows that. He's been anointed. But there he is. Scrabbling at the gate, act like a madman, spittle going down his beard, the Bible says.
acting insane, just the spirit's life. God, where are you? Where's the kingdom now?
After it's all done, it's all over. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. As for God, His way is perfect. Can we rest in that? We can, but will we? As for God, His way is perfect. There's one angle I want to bring out on this yet. Turn to Jeremiah 18, if you would, please. See, we are on the potter's wheel today. These things are His influence on our lives. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now, think of the potter, the clay on the wheel. I have never worked with a potter myself, but I understand that clay turns. There's several things can mar that clay on the wheel. Several things can cause that clay to the vessel being made to be ruined. As that clay is placed on the potter's wheel, the wheel spins. The potter has wet hands. The clay is wet, and he takes his fingers, and as the clay is spinning, he shapes that clay, and he the inside and the outside, he shapes that clay. And there are several things can mar that. One is if there's any resistance in that clay, say a piece of stone or a stick that somehow is mixed in that clay, as it's spinning around, his finger will catch that, and it tears a gash in that smooth side. The same with us. We're talking about John the Baptist. We're talking about David. We're talking about us. Resistance in our life will cause that vessel to also be marred. Resistance. And then as that vessel is taken off the potter's wheel, put into the oven to dry, that vessel can once more easily crack. And that is when that takes a place, particularly when the vessel is not made of the same kind of clay. So you have impurities within the vessel. It's not a uniform clay mixture. And it doesn't all dry the same speed. And because of the different types of clay in there, the bowl will crack or maybe break completely. Get the idea? We are the clay in the potter's hand. And Christ wants a pure heart, a pure heart. He wants a pure heart. A heart that's all his. Stands up to the heat. Stands up to the pressure. And in the end, still says, as for God, His way is perfect.